Time for another edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by a Green State Credit Union, as we talk with local realtor Bon Vivant, man about town, Matt Cargiolotti.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of driving.
We missed you.
Thanks. I missed you too.
I really did. I was just spreading rumors about you and candy corn, but I guess that...
No, there was like some real candy corn probably involved at some point. I drove to Nashville and back and met my brother-in-law there for the weekend and dropped off my camper for them to use. And
nice.
Yeah.
You're a good guy.
Well, thanks.
You're a nice guy.
It was a heck of a drive.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite a bit to... they're bumming your trailer.
Well, that's okay.
And you drive it all the way down there.
They live in the Florida Keys.
I understand, but still, you drove it to Nashville. That's a bit of a drive. Well,
I did get to go to Nashville and hang out for a couple days, right?
Did you go record anything with any major Nashville stars?
I didn't see any major Nashville stars.
There's no Matt Cargiolotti country album coming out anytime
soon? I'm sure there's tons of weird Matt Cargiolottis wandering around Nashville with their country albums in their back pocket. Okay. But not me.
No tear in my beer.
Right. Yeah. No, and I'm not so lonesome I could cry or anything. It was an interesting
place. Ran over my dog with my pick 'em up truck songs.
Right. And okay. Playing backwards, getting everything back.
There you go.
Yeah. Oop.
So can I sell my house?
I don't think you can. No.
Really?
I mean, technically, an owner of a home can sell it.
Yes.
Right?
I'm not the owner of my home?
No.
I'm not the master of my own domain?
You're not. You and your wife are.
Oh.
It's called dower rights. It's kind of an awesome thing. Was put together to largely protect surviving spouses from being able to actually own their property after their spouse would die in war.
From all the snidely whiplashes out there, where are they going to take the...
Well, I mean, it's mostly because of now that, a spouse has died, what do I do? And then the family comes in and takes, the house away, and this person is now left destitute. So, no, it was actually a great thing. Dower rights are kind of fascinating, and there's a long kind of history of equality and some civil rights to it. And at the same point, too, this is a way of being able to protect any spouse in any situation that's married, that owns a property. It's called dower rights, and that's that other seller... essentially, has to sign all documents, and list those documents. So, for example, let's just say there's a couple that's getting divorced, and one of them is like, hey, it's time to sell the house. And if that person gets going in that direction and the other person does not, it's not okay. I mean, all documents require signatures from both people. And so, it's kind of fascinating.
So you can't pull a Radar or O'Reilly and just give them a stack of things to sign and then just slip that in the middle there.
With the notary, you could. Oh. Yeah. But no. and the same thing for a deed, too. So when it comes time to be able to sell that property later on, there's the need to be able to execute that deed. And that's that actual legal instrument that is recorded at the county court recorder's office. Morning, Diana. Diana Long-Henry.
Yeah.
And then she would record that deed, and that would be there for everybody to see if they needed to, and that would show that both people did indeed were able to sign off on that property to convey it.
All right, let's see if he can handle the curveball this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a little tired, go for it.
Okay. Fastballs haven't phased him. Here, see if he can handle the curve. So, couple gets divorced. They don't agree to sell that property, so they're still co-owning. One of them is the husband stays in the house, and the wife goes away, ex-wife goes away.
Right.
The man gets remarried.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He dies.
Uh-huh.
Does the new wife have any kind of claim on that house versus the old, the ex-wife?
The first thing I'll begin with is, I am not an attorney. however, if there was a divorce,
yes,
and at some point someone's going to say one or the other party needs to quit claim their interest in that property, right?
You and assume.
So, right. If that has not happened, then indeed the former spouse still had an interest and has an actual interest in that property.
Right.
Now, usually these things would be very, like, obvious things that are going to be happening in almost every single divorce. They're going to clarify, like, who has a car, who has a house.
I understand.
Right. Now, new spouse, yes, the new spouse also has a claim to it. However, it's a it's not as
strong a claim.
Right, it'd be a secondary claim, so it would not be the primary claim, if indeed this is the situation you're trying to go for. So, but it's only going to be half of his existing claim, right?
Okay. So she would actually end up like owning a quarter of that.
A quarter of interest. A
quarter interest in the house.
But see, it's a shared interest, right? So it's dower, so which is essentially like a default into joint tenants with rights of survivorship. And so joint tenants are kind of a fascinating. I mean, I'm, again, not an attorney. But
please do not confuse this with anything having to do with anything legal.
Thank you. Yes, get legal advice.
That's right.
Yes. But no, joint tenants with full rights of survivorship, or as they say in the industry, JTWROS. So weird. And God. That
nothing like acronyms. Huh?
I know, right? But both of those people actually own that property, not like 50-50. They both own 100% of it, but they own 100% of it together. Does that make sense?
Oh, clear as mud.
Okay. And so should one of those people, from one of those joint tenants,
right,
pass away,
mm,
or, you know, whatever, the interest completely passes and it's fully to the surviving spouse. And so, generally speaking, the way most couples buy houses, buy property, this is how they do it, unless they're doing something overtly different. Which would be like as a tenant in common or something like that.
Okay.
And so a tenant in common is something that's a bit, you'll see a bit more frequently now with remarried folks who are like, you know, this guy who's been divorced and has kids and this gal who's been divorced and had kids are now gonna marry each other. And instead of having a joint tenants or full rights of survivorship, maybe they do a tenant in common where they could essentially, maybe she has a lot more money and maybe she's buying 70% of this property. He's buying the other 30%. And so that can actually divvy up that interest to be what that financial stake is for each one of them, percentage-wise. And then when that person's estate, assuming they're still married, would go to one another, and that could actually be another way of kind of conveying that property between couples. Post, you know, previous marriages and into that couple's current kind of situation. So either their estate would end up with that 30 or 70%. If assuming that the surviving spouse wasn't in the will to begin with. You see what I mean?
Mm.
It's really, yeah, probably not very clear.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, well, what if somebody, you have the house, you decide not to sell the house, you get the divorce, you decide not to sell the house, you just rent it. Yeah, you split the proceeds from the rental,
rent,
you know, and then the son, they die, but the surviving.
The important thing is who owns
He's
it.
He's not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
The important thing is who owns it.
Okay.
And if the property's ever going to get conveyed, ownership all ownership needs to recognize the ability to convey it on a listing contract, and they need to be able to physically convey it within a legal instrument as a recorded deed. Yeah.
Okay.
So if those two things can happen, then that property is conveyable. It's a big one. I know. And there's still other pieces of obviously other title objections and things like that that come up in any other regular type of thing. But so like if there's a mortgage and they're both on a mortgage, right? And then there's still a mortgage in place. But who's left on that mortgage? Chances are lenders probably not going to be real amicable about trying to remove a responsible party from their, you know, their mortgage, right? They're going to want to keep that there.
Yeah.
So usually in order to make that go away, people end up having to refinance.
Okay.
Which turns into almost like another conveyance anyways. But yeah. No, it's a long, harried, complicated process, especially for making sure that all of those people's rights are covered and making sure that sellers are both represented for their property. And so highly complicated. This is like one of the worst for sale by owner type of things as I end up having to encounter. And I'm like, oh no, it's another one of these. Okay, well, hold on, folks. Let's get you on the right path.
He's not a lawyer, but he is Matt Garzolotti, and we'll check some numbers when we come back here on Right at Home. Brought to you by Green State Credit Union.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is now Green State Credit Union. Their name has changed, but their commitment to serving their members and communities remains the same. At Green State, you'll find the same great low-rate loans, including home, home equity, and auto loans. They're also the number one auto and mortgage lenders in Iowa. Stop by their branch in downtown Grinnell. Call 236-1818 or visit greenstatecu.org. It's your community, and they're still your credit union.
Back on Right at Home with Matt Garzolotti, who's not a lawyer.
I'm not. No. I'm a Iowa licensed real estate broker.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I guess I shouldn't play the L.A. law theme then, going out.
You can. I mean, we're not in L.A.
Okay.
And
all right.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You talk about
look at
you,
that.
Yeah. Look
oh,
at
you
that.
Are going to do it.
I am. All right. There you go. So let's talk. Let's crunch some numbers here.
Oh yeah, I do have those.
You do have numbers. We missed them desperately. We missed them last week.
They're interesting. They're not fantastic, but they're interesting. First, I'm going to do October's, and by October's I mean some of October's. We had a total of 27 closings for October in all of Jasper. I'm sorry, in all of Powashik and Eastern Jasper County, with an average sale price of get this $206,000. It's a pretty high number. Probably going to be our highest number for sale price over the course of the year. But also that 27's a little bit lower than I'd like to see, but it's certainly not horrible. Last year at this time for October, we had 17, for example, which seems like microscopic compared to that. And then again, 22 into 2017, and 33 for 2016. 2016 and actually 2019 have a lot in common about their kind of market cycle, so it's been kind of fascinating to see. The total amount listed has been slowly dropping as we've kind of gone into November. We have a total amount listed right now of 151 single residential properties in all of Eastern Jasper and all of Powashik County. And as we go back over the last couple of weeks, we see that similar kind of number, 151 to 152, 152, 150. So it's really not ranging that much. It's a pretty.
Wait a minute, aren't those days on market?
Oh yeah, you always do that to me. I can't read that dang right column. So those are days on market.
Those are days on market, yeah.
All right.
But you're right. The numbers have not changed for the listings. Because the listings, it's 129, 128, 125, 123. I mean, it's a little slight decline, but really not that.
You're right. You're right.
Not that big of a deal.
Great. Yeah. So our days on market's been really stable. That's no.
He's not a lawyer.
I'm not. I'm also not a statistician. No, our days on market's been incredibly stable. That's actually very stable for days on market.
Yeah.
Days on market usually fluctuate kind of wildly. So to see that be as kind of like, you know, ironclad as we have been going into fall, really fascinating.
Pretty much since April, it's just been kind of almost just...
It hasn't changed very much.
Hardly.
Right.
There's been a little variance, but not.
Usually we end up with something more radical. We end up with some pretty big shifts. I mean, days on market, I mean, like where we started on January at 190 days, and now we're at 150. And that days on market fluctuation can go wildly in different years, too. So,
I mean, second week of February was 232.
Right.
And now down to 150. That's...
Yeah. I think our high was 234 for this year so far.
Yeah.
Our sales here from the last week are kind of interesting. We ended up having 5 closed transactions, 11 pendings. That was a little startling to see, which was up significantly from 5 pendings from the previous week. And our new listings have stayed relatively consistent, but low. 7 new listings for both this week and the previous week. Our new active days on market has actually been really also kind of odd. For the past 3 weeks, you know, our average days on market, 19 days, 11 days, 4 days. And so out of all of these listings, I mean, these are very fresh listings. So here we're seeing active brand new inventory come on the market in like the first weeks of November. It's kind of odd. As I've kind of been predicting, like, I think we're going to have like maybe a little bit of a Indian summer, so to speak, for as we kind of go into.
That's crazy.
It was the weather. I think it's interesting. So our production usually remains about the same.
Right.
Right. Now, I mean, total units usually stays about the same. It's just when it happens and then how it happens. And so, like, as our production is spread out over the course of a year, if we could take 12 months for that to happen, we end up with this, like, slow graduated arc. And it's a lot less volatile, and the market conditions are a bit more hospitable. Offers are reasonable. There's some at full price, there's some below, but you don't end up with, you know, the precipitous climb and drop. And now what we're having right now is because our spring and our early summer was so, you know, horrible. It was like just like absorbed into winter. And right. I mean, it was like, we had like hard, nasty cold to, you know, long-term kind of very wet, very cold summer, early summer. And so I think we've been kind of like, you know, set back an additional month or so. So I think that November, I think we're going to actually have a really active November pretty much all the way to Thanksgiving. And then I would not be surprised to see December do some interesting things too. I know, like, in the last week, I mean, just for commercial properties, I can barely keep up with what I have. And I mean, there's some incredible numbers that are going to come through for those sales. And we could talk about that when that's all done. But I mean, it's an unusual year, really unusual year.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that this cold snap here, all of a sudden we've got this winter suddenly just reared its ugly head and...
No. If we're talking about a foot of snow right now, then yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably just kill it. But no, I think we'd be fine for this. I don't think this is going to make that big a difference.
So it's not really the temperature, it's just the actual physical conditions?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Once people see that they don't want to have to move their furniture in the snow, that usually stops offers right away. However, I mean, it's been a pretty competitive market too. And if you look at that average sale price from November, we're at $205,000. I mean, there has to be, the conversion on that's got to be huge to like what the percentage of sale price is. I haven't done a percentage of sale price search for a while, so... I think our percentage sale price is probably still really high. We're probably still on that 98% range versus probably in the 96 where we normally be around the same time. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. You can see all these numbers for yourself. They'll be online at our website at myiowainfo.com. Of course, this show live streamed on the RE/MAX Partners Realty Facebook page.
That's right.
That's right.
I hope so.
Say hi.
Hello. Hi, Jim. There you go. Ben.
And
Josh.
It'll also be archived at our website at myiowainfo.com, where it just might become a best of if Matt just plays hooky again sometime.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you giving me, is that your subtle way of saying yes, I'm got plans?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. We'll just call this one the I'm Not a Lawyer Show.
Oh, God.
And that'll do it for this edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by Green State Credit Union. Your
credit union.
Yeah, your credit union.
They're right here.
That's right. They're my credit union, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks,
I owe
Green
money.
State.
It's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, mortgage. For Matt Cargiolotti, who's not a lawyer, I'm Tim Dill, and I'm not one either.
He's
1410 KGRN.